Hello, I'm Tash and you're listening to episode 252 of Chat Disney. Welcome back to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast, and I may sound like I'm on my own at the moment, but I will be joined by Mercedes today, and we are going to be talking all about Disney on Ice, which we both have had the pleasure of going to recently, and it is a very special Disney 100 Disney year Disney on Ice as well. But before we get into that, let's have a quick look at what has been happening in the world of Disney this week. Kicking off today with some Walt Disney World news and potentially exciting news for any Star Wars fans out there. There is a new private Star Wars photo shoot experience that is going to be available at Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios. Now, this experience will give the user 20 minutes with a Disney photographer to document the visitor's adventures in Batuu. And the experience can feature up to 8 guests, and it is at a cost of $99, which sounds like a lot, but if you have 8 people and you split that amongst yourselves, then it ends up being, quick math off the top of my head, around $13 or something like that. So not too bad, and obviously you can bet that this is going to be in front of some of the iconic scenes of Batuu. They'll probably enhance the photos, Photoshop some cool things in there. So if you are a huge Star Wars fan, then maybe this is something you may want to check out. Sticking with Walt Disney World as well today, a new free dining plan will be available to Disney Plus subscribers when purchasing select vacation packages at Walt Disney World. Now, we know that dining plans are coming back and it is very, very exciting news. This has to be a non-discounted 4-night, 4-day Walt Disney World package that includes a room, a select hotel and a ticket with a park hopper option, and it's only valid for arrivals from July the 1st to the 30th of September, so quite limited. And obviously if it's a 4-night, 4-day stay, it's going to be more appealing to those that already live in the US, but definitely good to see that more dining plan options are coming back. And images of a new Figment bucket, have been released, which will be available as part of Epcot's International Festival of the Arts for 2024. Now, the bucket is inspired by the Imagination Pavilion. It's actually really cool. It's kind of see-through and there's a little Figment inside. Actually looks quite good. They are, of course, expected to sell out very quickly. You may remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, when they first released the Figment popcorn bucket that basically was just of Figment, and there were huge queues to get this popcorn bucket. So this one is expected to sell out very quickly as well. There will be a limit of 2 per person per transaction, which is a little bit controversial because obviously if you do have multiple people in your family, that still means, you know, if you've got a family of 4, that still means that you could get 8 buckets, and then people we know are going to sell them online for an extremely ridiculous price. Speaking of the Festival of the Arts, the full food and drink menus for the festival have now been released. And a lot of fan favourites are returning, like the deconstructed key lime pie, as well as lots of new options, including a whole range of snacks inspired by Figment, including a delicious looking blueberry lunchbox tart. Yum, yum, yum. Also, some exciting merchandise news for you, and one that may appeal to Mercedes. There is some new snack merchandise available, including t-shirts, spirit jerseys, bags, pajamas. There's even a Mickey sandwich, ice cream sandwich cushion, which is really, really cute. Plant pots that look like popcorn buckets. You name it, they have got it. Now, all this merchandise does feature some of the iconic snacks that we see around the Disney parks. Some of them I've just mentioned. Mickey ice cream sandwich, Mickey bars, waffles, pretzels, popcorn, etc., etc. Really, really cute stuff. Food and snacks at Disney World and Disneyland is becoming more and more iconic. So this is really cute, some of this stuff. Definitely check it out, and it will be available on Shop Disney at Disneyland and at Walt Disney World as well. And finishing off today with a couple of bits of other news. So we spoke a couple of weeks ago, or might even have been last week, about how Mickey Mouse is now in the public domain, and it has been causing quite a stir in the first week. So a horror movie based on the original Mickey Mouse short of Steamboat Willie has been announced, which, yeah, looks a bit questionable. I believe the character is not going to be called Mickey Mouse. I believe that he is going to be referred to as Steamboat Willie. But yeah, not sure how I'd feel about that. I probably would maybe watch it out of some kind of intrigue. But yeah, I feel like this is not going to be the first horror movie or portrayal of Mickey in a different light that we see now. He is in the public domain. And Disney have also this week backed down from a copyright claim they had that they had tried to instate on a YouTube video that featured the original Steamboat Willie cartoon with a different soundtrack dubbed over the top. And they acknowledged to the creator that Mickey Mouse is now in the public domain, so they had no claim over it. And finally, finishing off today with some rather sad news, and Glenys Johns, who is the Disney legend, she played Mrs. Banks in the original Mary Poppins movie. She very sadly passed away last week at the age of 94 of natural causes. Very, very sad indeed. I'm a huge fan of her portrayal of Mrs. Banks. And that pretty much sums up everything that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. We're now going to move on to the main part of the episode, a little deep dive into Disney on Ice. So, as I said in the introduction, Mercedes and I both had the pleasure of going to Disney on Ice just before Christmas. We both went separately. We have not talked about it at all yet, so I'm really intrigued to get Mercedes' thoughts on it. I know, Mercedes, like me, you had been wanting to go to Disney on Ice for a long, long time, but didn't really have a reason or an excuse to go. I think we both agreed that it seemed very much like the sort of thing that we would do with children or when we had kids, rather than going as, you know, childless Disney fans. So yeah, where do we start? What were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, well, two things actually, two disclaimers. The first disclaimer is apologies if the audio isn't very good. I'm currently dialing in from Morocco, and that's how committed Tash and I are to bringing you this podcast every week. And the second disclaimer is the last time we spoke about Disney on Ice, you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, you said you weren't going and you were going to take Teddy, you know, when he was old enough, and you've just taken a 4-month-old to Disney on Ice, which seems, even by my standards, quite extravagant and quite unnecessary. So I want to just quickly explain how it came about, because when I listened last time and then now me being like, oh, and now I'm going, it just didn't sound very like normal. So basically, we have a relative who through work has a box at the O2, and he'll often get tickets to go to various different events at the O2, and he always goes to Disney on Ice every Christmas with his family. And literally, I'm not exaggerating, less than 24 hours before, I think it was about, I don't know, 20 hours before, we got a message from this relative saying, would we like to go with him and his family? And of course, we jumped at the opportunity. I actually had family plans with my family, ditched them, drove up to London and went and watched Disney on Ice in the box. Now, the reason I'm also telling you this is because I think there's a few things that probably skew my judgment of the experience. And so the first one is that I didn't pay. So I think that's quite important. And the second one is that because I was in a box area, if anyone's ever been fortunate enough to go to a box at the O2, you've got like a seated area, but then there's also a bar where you can drink and eat, but still see what's happening. And then there's also this massive lounge. So obviously experiencing the show with a 4-month-old with those facilities was very, very pleasant. Had I had a normal seated ticket, I absolutely wouldn't have taken a baby. a disclaimer of like, because it worked beautifully. It was a really, really positive experience. And I'm so glad I took my son, because he actually did watch some of it. But that's because we were in a box. Like, there's no way in hell I would have taken him with
the,
like a normal...
I would be the same, but on a lot on the end of the aisle that we were sat on, there were a couple with a newborn baby. She must have been 2-3 months, and she was in a little Minnie Mouse dress, like a little prawn, like the pink with white spots. And she was fine, but I think she, every time I saw her, like in the interval and stuff, like she was fast asleep in her dad's arms, which was quite cute.
Yeah. And he slept a lot, but I think actually he was really well behaved. He didn't cry at all. But the reason it would have been a challenge had we had a standard seat is that my son is normally quite a regular, you know, when he's going to the toilet, let's say. And normally we can expect sort of one incident a day. For some reason, Disney on Ice, it must have excited him. He decided to fill his nappy about 6 times. And wees are different, right? You can sit in a wee for a little bit, but obviously we needed to change him quite quickly. But again, having the lounge, we were able to just kind of change him where we were, which you obviously couldn't start changing a pooey nappy in an auditorium full of like thousands of people. So again, that's why I'm kind of, I think those two things do kind of skew my opinion. So I just wanted to sort of set the scene of that. So I did really enjoy it. It was a really comfortable, pleasant experience. I was with, as I say, relatives, my 3-year-old niece, who is like honestly the biggest Disney fan ever, possibly even more so than Tash and I. And I have some lovely anecdotes to share with you about her experience because it was very, very cute. So yeah, it was a really, really positive experience. I'm so, so pleased that we went. Now, that's where you're like, wow, this is really positive for Mercedes. That's where that ends. If I'd paid for this, I probably would have been a bit disappointed, I think. How do I explain what was wrong with this show? It's really difficult for me to articulate. And I think you did a really good job, Tash, when you were talking about it. I agree with everything you said, by the way. It felt a bit naff, I would say. Tash obviously explained that you had those kind of two presenters comparing the show, completely unnecessary. Why that couldn't have just been Minnie and Mickey, I don't understand. I felt it was very Eurovision to me.
Yeah,
very anti-deck.
That is such a good way of describing it.
Yeah, it was so unnecessary. I don't understand why that couldn't have been Mickey and Minnie. Yeah, we see it all the time in the Disney parks, like, oh, that's Minnie's voice, but oh, Mickey, should we end up with the show? Like, I don't know why it couldn't have been them, but anyway. So yeah, that was a bit Europop, bit ITV, bit unnecessary. I didn't like the mouse pad. So Tash explained this in a lot of detail, this iPad, mouse pad, tablet thing. That was a really nasty device, in my opinion. Again, very cheap, very like gross, didn't like that. And then the biggest issue of all, and I will talk about my highlights in a second, because I'm being very, very scathing for what was a beautiful day out with my family and a very, very lovely and gifted experience. The thing I had the biggest issue with above everything else, and this is the bit I really want to talk to you about, Tash, the music. So when you were doing your review, Tash, I think I know, and I'm sure our listeners as well, some of them, maybe not, may have picked up on this as well. You mentioned original songs.
Yes.
When and where do you think there was an original song?
What I mean is, like, when the presenters were singing at the beginning, like, to, like, start the show, that's what I was talking about.
Okay, I did not catch any original songs, but what I did catch was songs that didn't belong. So I think, and maybe I'm misremembering, that at the beginning when everyone was singing and dancing and Mickey came out, it was LMFAO Party Rockers.
They did have that. But you are right. They did have that.
I don't recollect an original song. However, because I would have applauded that. What I heard was songs that very much don't belong in the Disney universe. So the first one I have the biggest issue with, this is Disney 100, right? So on the way in, I turned to my husband and I said, I'm worried this is going to be all of the things I've said, a bit Europop, a bit cheap, a bit ITV, a bit Ant and Dec. And I don't think it's a Disney 100, Disney on Ice. I would like it to start was Steamboat Willie. So much to my surprise, when the screen loaded up and the production began, there's Walt himself talking about, you know, I don't know, some Walt quote, keep moving forward. I don't remember what he said, but it was Walt Disney. And then it was Steamboat Willie. And I was like, oh my God, maybe this is going to be the show I'd hoped for. It wasn't, by the way. And then very shortly after that, it was interrupted by Mickey in what I would describe as urban streetwear, a satin hoodie, trackies, dancing to Party Rockers. I mean, that's not really the tone. So that bit I found, I would say, offensive. I really took a lot of issue with that at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the song list here and I can't find, this is me just doing a quick search, there probably is one online, but I can't find one that is relevant to the show we saw. But yeah, I completely forgot that there were other songs in it, like High Rockers, whatever it's called, that song, which I hate that song anyway. And that definitely was in it. But yeah, I feel like there were a couple of, or maybe not even a couple, maybe again I'm misremembering, maybe I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm sure that there was like a song that I had never heard and it was very much like a Disneyland-esque song.
Now, I think I know what that song might be, Tash, so thank you for that. You've fallen into my trap. Could it possibly have been the Hoedown Throwdown?
It could have been.
So this was my biggest issue with the entire show. The Woody section, the Toy Story section, started, and it was very much Woody's Roundup.
Oh, no, I'm talking about before even that, yeah.
Oh, okay, I don't know then. But Woody and Co. came out, and they did the Hoedown Throwdown. Now, you might be sat at home knowing exactly what the Hoedown Throwdown is. My guess is that most people listening to this right now are like, what the hell is that? The Hoedown Throwdown is a Hannah Montana song from Hannah Montana, the musical, the movie. It's the pop it, lock it, polka dot it, that one. Zigzag across the floor. So they decided, it's a Disney song, very, very niche. And I was looking around, no one knew what this was. And what you've got to remember is, most of the people in attendance are Gen X, older millennials that have got kids who are kind of like 10. These are not people who watch Hannah Montana, the movie. I know a lot about Hannah Montana because I have a sister who's 10 years younger than me and Gen Z. If it was filled with Gen Z, yeah, I'm sure there'd be a lot of nostalgia, a lot of throwbacks. Most people did not know what this was. Now, they said, we're going to do the Hoedown Throwdown. I was sat next to my little niece and I said to her, right, are you ready? We're going to do pop it, lock it. I am doing the actions. Obviously, listeners can't see. Polka dot it. I taught her the little dance and then it started. And her mum was like, oh my God, you need to put your skates on and go down there. Because she didn't know that this was a thing. Like, she just thought they had like made it up or I don't know. And halfway through, my niece just looked at me and went, she's three, by the way, and I definitely think they should show these performances to her before they go out to the general public. She looked at me and went, what is this? And I was like, exactly. No one's going to know what this is. And why is there a Hannah Montana song for Toy Story? I found it baffling, that moment.
I'm glad you brought that up because I completely forgot about that whole section. And it was, I think, the opening, well, not the opening scene, obviously, you had Mickey and Pals, but it was then like the first bit that we saw. And now that you're saying about this, it is coming back to me because I remember, I can't remember, I think it must have been those two presenters who were like, right, everybody, get up and dance. And literally no one got up and danced. Like, it really fell flat.
Because no one knows the Hoedown Throwdown. It's not Gen Z, yes, but Gen Z are not going to Disney on Ice. It's young kids, Gen Alpha, and then it's they're older millennial Gen X parents, right? It's people in their 30s and 40s who did not grow up with Hannah Montana. So they're my niggles. They're my niggles that I want to get out of the way. I think that, as I say, my three-year-old niece is a very good judge of what should be allowed on stage and what shouldn't. Because the Moana section, you mentioned this, Tash, was quite slow. Halfway through We Know the Way, she turned to me and went, where's Maui? Where's Hey Hey? Where's the boat? And I was like, again, you're spot on. Where are these things? I've watched these villagers who aren't even like, because she said to me, where's Moana's dad? They were just, you know, generic villagers. And it went on and on and on. So I think the pacing wasn't quite right. Some of the choices of music. And I understand, you know, Tash and I are new to the world of Disney on Ice. They do these. They do two of these every year. So they've probably already used, you know, the famous Toy Story music, You've Got a Friend in Me. They've probably already done a big Moana sequence. So they were trying to find an alternative song. I don't know. But there were quite a few musical choices, especially because it's Disney 100, that I was like, this is odd. Now, I've been scathing. Highlights for me, Sorcerer's Apprentice. I think you mentioned this as well, Tash. That was fantastic, and I really enjoyed that. And it was nice to see Mickey in his, like, traditional clatter rather than, you know, a hoodie. And I liked all of the princesses coming out. But again, very strange. Where was Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, I thought this with that whole segment. That was probably my favourite segment because I thought the pacing of it was a lot better. I preferred it when they did kind of more like a mash, like a montage, rather than... I mean, I like the Encanto section because I love the music and I love the characters of Encanto. And I guess I'm not such a big fan of Moana, but I did think the Moana section massively dragged. So I really liked that Disney Princess section. But yeah, I totally agree. It didn't feel... It didn't feel very linear. It didn't feel, for someone who is, I really appreciate things done like, well, done in a way that makes sense. And I think what would have made sense would have been to have the Disney princesses, especially because it is Disney 100, to have Snow White come out first and to have them come out in order and then to finish with like the Frozen section or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was a bit like Tiana came out and she did... I can't remember what song it was, but it was one of the songs that's probably lesser known from Princess and the Frog. But then the others came out and it was just instrumental. Like, I would have preferred a snippet of singing. And I guess, like, you know, all the performers, maybe they can't all sing, but I would have preferred it to kind of have been, yeah, just more like the same thing done by different princesses, if that makes sense.
Agreed. I think, as I say, like, I'm being quite scathing, and obviously I got to go for free, so I feel like that's really ungrateful. But I think I enjoyed it more because of that. I think if I'd paid for it, I'd have been really like, oh, like, let me put it this way. I won't be going again, I don't think, unless my very generous family member who's probably listening to this now, like, yeah, no way am I taking you again. Like, you've just absolutely torn it to filth. But yeah, I would go again if I was able to have complimentary tickets. But I wouldn't pay for it. I think there's better shows in Disney parks, if I'm being completely honest. And I suspect, Tash, that the choreography is done by a third party. Whoever these ice dancers are, I suspect they choreograph. I think they probably get the rights. I can't imagine that, like, Disney theatrical group, well, their names on it, but I think that it's a franchise or something. It very much feels
like that. I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't think it's choreographed by Disney. It feels like I think that's the issue. I feel like they just need to get one person quite senior from like Disney Entertainment in the park to just cast an eye over it and make a few little adjustments and tweaks. Like, why are you doing the hoedown throwdown with Woody? And then, like, it would be a lot tighter. I thought it was quite funny that, like, again, I'm new to this, so it's like the small things kind of surprised me. But because it's ice skating, which is obviously really bloody hard work, people did fall. Like, I saw Moana fall, which I wasn't expecting that at all. Like, I always see it on TikTok. There's a really famous one of Pumbaa kind of crashing into the audience. But yeah, so Moana fell. There was a moment where I can't remember which princess it was, but she looked like she was going to do some big jump and then kind of chickened out of it. There were a few moments like that. But again, I get that it's ice skating. It's a skill. It's really, really hard work. And even professionals fall. But I don't expect to see that at a Disney show.
Interesting. Yeah, we didn't see anything, not to my, you know, there might have been people that stumbled that I wasn't necessarily looking at the time, but from what I could see, no one kind of had any stumbles or anything like that apart from Goofy, but that was obviously intentional.
Yes.
So yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, I mean, overall, as I say, it was a lovely day out. I really enjoyed it. I was shocked that my four-month-old actually took it in and liked the colours and the music and everything he was actually watching, which was a really pleasant surprise. I had no idea kind of how he was going to respond to it. It's made me really excited for the parades and things at Disney, because obviously I would assume, be able to get quite a lot out of them. But I don't know. I think if you've got little children, like, as I say, with my 3-year-old niece, for her to see Mickey and Minnie, she's never been to Disneyland before. The fact that she can see Mickey and Minnie in London is quite incredible. So yeah, if you've got like diehard Disney fans in the family, little ones, yes, go. But I feel like our assumption was right, Tash, and us as sort of Disney, childless Disney adults in our former lives, it is probably correct that we didn't go. It definitely gave me the same kind of vibes as that Disney 100 concert that we went to.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. Like, I would go again. I think it is, talking about the money, I can't remember how much I paid for the tickets, but I do think it is very overpriced for what it is. I booked it a long time ago, so I can't remember exactly how much, but maybe it was like £40 a ticket or something. But yeah. I would take my son, probably not next year, but the year after, because I do think that he would really enjoy, like, it from a sensory perspective, the colours, the music, just seeing Mickey. And like, even my niece, who's 7, she was like, is that like the real Mickey Mouse that lives at Disneyland that we'll see when we go in August? And I was like, yeah, that's him. And she was quite in amazement of that. So that was really cute. So I do think that from a child's perspective, it is still quite magical, and they probably don't pick up on all like the finer nuances that we do as adults. And especially, you know, us, we have a Disney podcast. We look at things with not a critical eye, but we look at something and we think like we're going to be reviewing that for the Chat Disney podcast. So we do pick up on these things that maybe other people wouldn't necessarily. But yeah, I think when you said franchise, definitely. Bit naff, yeah.
Apologies, I could not find my mute button there. This is what happens when you're recording abroad and your child decides to have an explosion and your husband has to come and interrupt you. I think there's something about Disney on Ice and my son, as I mentioned earlier, that means he decides to go to the toilet. I'm not quite sure what it is, but there we are. He heard from afar I was talking about it. So yes, apologies for that. Yeah, NAF franchise. Honestly, like, I hope I'm not offending anyone when I say this, but the best expression I can think of is ITV. You know, you go to like the Royal Albert Hall and watch like Disney in concert with a live orchestra. Like, that's very like, apologies, my husband's now sneezing. Welcome to the real world. Hopefully Tash will edit all of that out. But if not, then sorry. so yeah, Royal Albert Hall with like, you know, the Philharmonic Orchestra or whatever, that's like BBC kind of Disney. And then this felt like Saturday Night Takeaway with Ant and Dec.
Yes.
That's how I would explain it. But you're right, Tash. A little kid going to London, especially at the festive period, Christmas, like getting to see their favourite princess, their favourite Disney character in London, incredible. And for families who haven't been to Disneyland and perhaps want to, don't have the money or means or whatever resources, they get to go and have like a slice of that Disney magic on their doorstep. And I totally understand the appeal of that. But I just want everything to be, you know, you said there about a critical eye, I just want everything to be as good as it can be. And I feel like there were some really tiny adjustments they could have made that would really have elevated the show. Like having Mickey come out to the music of, I don't know, it's starting with The Sorcerer's Apprentice, or as you say, it's Disney 100, go in sequence. I'd have loved Snow White to come out and do a bit. And yeah, they didn't have to do all the characters. They could have just stuck with the characters that they have, but it is Disney 100. I would have liked something to sort of mark the occasion. And apart from Walt Disney speaking in black and white at the very beginning, it didn't feel like it was a celebration of 100 years of Disney magic to me.
Yes, I think that is a very good kind of final line on it. I completely agree. I would have liked to have seen more variety within it, and more different. I would have liked it to have been made up of more different mini sections than focusing on several films for 15 minutes and then just throwing in other odd bits here and there.
Yes. What I would say is that my family that we went with, who go kind of every Christmas, they said that it was probably not as good as ones that they've seen before. So maybe Tash and I just unfortunately caught a subpar Disney on Ice performance. Maybe we should give it a go again in the future. I don't know. Let us know your thoughts. Have you been to Disney on Ice? Do you think we're being too harsh? Do you think it's fun for the kids and we're just, you know, being old and out of touch? I don't know. Let us know what you thought about Disney on Ice if you saw it this festive period.
Okay, so there you have it. They were some of our thoughts on Disney on Ice for 2023. And as always, do get in touch. Let us know if you're a Disney on Ice fan, if you're planning to go, if you have been. What are your thoughts? Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Let us know. As always, you can find us on Instagram at Chat Disney and Twitter at Chat Disney UK. And going forward, please, please do let us know what you would like to hear from us this year as well. We are entering into our fifth year this year of the Chat Disney podcast, which seems absolutely crazy. But yeah, always, always keen and happy to have new ideas for content and things that you, as our listeners, lovely loyal listeners, would like to hear. But for now, that is all. And we will be back at the same time in the same place next week. Bye for now.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.